Welcome to Shooter's Corner, your program for conversation on guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
Welcome, listeners. It's currently 35 degrees and what? Like a light rain.
Yeah, light little rain.
Hey, Cindy and I are going to be doing this remote today. I'm a little ill, so we got Matt in the studio running the show for us, and we're just gonna chill here on the phone and knock out this show real quick. So you're still going to get all the same great content you would in any other Shooter's Corner radio show. How's that sound, Matt? Think we can pull this off?
Yeah, I think we can.
I think so, too. Let me do this while we're transitioning. Can you hear me now without that echo now?
Yeah, I don't have an echo on my end.
No? Okay. Let's see about this. If we put an AirPod in. Well.
Bear with us, listeners. We're just working out these kinks.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, is that a little bit better? Not so robot muffled?
Yeah, a little better. I think you're just going to have to work through the phone lines, but yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Can you hear Cindy?
Barely.
Okay. Can you hear him, though?
I can hear me. Okay. I don't need to talk, so we're good. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And there we go. All right, let's do this. Let's start this show. Well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Remember, if you have any questions or comments during the show, feel free to call in 458-TALK, 458-8255. Remember, you can also live stream the show at kfarradio.com. Did I say calm? listen live. And as always, if you miss a show or part of the show, you can always go back to the archives and pull up the show like last week's show. We're going to hint on a little bit today as well. So, just some friendly reminders for the local community. The Alaska Outdoor Mentorship Program will be on May 14th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the TDSA range. That's over at 1230 TDSA Way there in Fairbanks. That's 1730 to 1900 for you military folk. Also remember, TDSA has their memberships. I heard their gun show went pretty well. Matt, did you have an opportunity to swing out there and check it out, or?
You know, I didn't, but I did hear from a few buddies that went that they really enjoyed it and they thought everything was great.
Yeah, same. Yeah, I was hearing the same. But just remember, ladies and gentlemen, TBSA does have their memberships available over there at their range at 1230 TBSA Way. And that helps you save some money if you have that public shooting hours over there every Thursday from 6 to 8, where the cost is only $5 for members, $20 for non-members. A great range over there. Also remember, C4 Training Group is going to be hosting the Active Self-Protection Skills Summit in Fairbanks on June 20th and 21st. You can go to our website at c4traininggroup.com, or you can go directly to activeselfprotection.com/shop and sign up for that class. Maybe two great instructors are going to be coming up. Matt kind of talked about that last week when he was talking about, you know, going and getting training so you can rise to that level of performance. Should there be a dangerous situation versus just, you know, watching, get that hands-on training. What do you think, Matt?
No, I mean, that's absolutely correct. Yeah, you definitely need to come up and get hands-on training, and vetting your instructors is one of the most important things you can do, because anyone can go and get an instructor certification, but actually looking into their background, what they do, and even if you can, you know, get word of mouth from people that you trust, it really helps. But then all you're doing is helping yourself, and you're not being a liability to you and your loved ones. So I think it's extremely worth it.
Yeah, I think I've said that several times. Like, yeah. Learn to be an asset and not a liability. Like, if you're that type of person that thinks that you're going to, like, rise to the occasion, you're probably not going to. Your first instinct, because you don't have a file and a folder in your brain to be able to go to and draw from, like, you literally are probably going to, like, have a heart rate of 180 beats per minute, have crap in your shorts, and then bad things are going to happen to you and your family, right?
Exactly.
So, go to these guys, get this training. These are two instructors, Neil Widener and Chris Bean. They directly work with Active Self-Protection. They're the instructors for that company, and they are great people. I have personally met them and worked with them down in the lower 48. So
Also, women, it's really important if you're married or whoever you want to be able to back them up.
Oh, I like that, Cindy. Like, Cindy can be a wingman because she's literally gone through training and stuff as well, so it's awesome. Remember the ACHP class for our Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit class. Next class is May 16th and 17th. C4 Training Group hosts that over at Alaska Ammo. So just remember that. I think last time I had checked, there was only 3 slots left for that class. Like, that class is filled up almost already, and it probably will be before the end of this weekend. We're going to be bringing our defensive rifle class back online. We're going to make them one-day classes, but it'll be over a two-day event if you want to do defensive rifle 1 and then advanced defensive rifle 2 or defensive rifle 2. Will be on that Sunday, so defensive rifle 1 on Saturday, July 25th, defensive rifle 2, July 26th. And those classes will be posted tonight on our website over at c4traininggroup.com, so make sure you jump on there and you can sign up for those classes. Look, you're going to learn how to basically operate your rifle the way it was designed by Eugene Stoner to be operated. You'll learn about maintenance, employment, malfunction clearance drills, loading, unloading, strategies for home defense. And that's for what even our courts have called the most uncommon use rifle in our nation, right? Like many people have said before, the 2 rifle systems every American should know how to operate, the AR, or the M4 carbine, and the AK-47. The M4 because it's the most prevalent rifle in our society, the AK-47 because that's a rifle system our enemies are going to be bringing. So you probably need to know how to operate those. So anything to add to that, Matt?
No, I mean, I think you summed it up pretty well. I mean, one, I love pistols. I like shooting with pistols. I think it's the most challenging thing you can do for self-defense, and using a carbine is kind of like a cheat code. But at the same time, I have the most amount of fun with a rifle, a carbine, you know, whatever you want to call it, depending on what it is. But man, I love it. And being able to teach it is just so fun because you can go down some, you know, really in-depth conversations, but at the same time, like, you can keep it very simple. So I think it's just a well-rounded subject that everyone should know how to use and employ properly.
I think the biggest thing is people need to understand that a handgun is a weapon system of convenience.
Yep.
Right? Because you can carry it in public and everything else like that without, like, causing a lot of angst or stress on people. You know, you can feel it. So it is purely for convenience. Whereas we used to say in the LEO world, right, a handgun allows you to fight your way to your rifle, right?
Or exactly. Shotgun.
Because I would much rather, if I respond to anything, I would much rather have it be a rifle in my hand. Because it's going to stop any threat, even at distance. So, you know, handguns limited in their capabilities. Rifles, not so much.
I just do a lot better than
that. He's actually pretty freaking good with her AR, too. Yeah. I think we have enough time to go through this week's in firearm history here real quick. We good on time there, Matt?
Yeah, we got about 2 minutes. Yeah, I think we should be good.
I appreciate that. So, April 23rd, 1882, Christopher Minor Spencer, I think everybody's heard of the Spencer rifle, patented the 1882 pump action shotgun. Christopher Spencer, best known for a Civil War era Spencer repeating rifle and carbine, was granted a U.S. patent on this date for a pump-action shotgun design. This model, often called the Spencer 1882, is recognized as one of the earliest commercially successful pump-action, slide-action shotguns. Some of the key features of significance: the design used a sliding four-end pump mechanism to cycle the action, eject the spent shell, and chamber a new one from a tubular magazine. It represented a practical advancement in repeating shotguns, offering faster follow-up shots than contemporary single or double barrel designs. While not the absolute first pump-action concept, Spencer's version achieved meaningful commercial production and helped popularize the pump-action platform. This operating system later became dominant in American sporting and defensive shotguns. Also, what I thought was pretty interesting here is about the same time, Winchester started coming out with their own stuff as well. So the Spencer 1882 and the Winchester pump action shotguns, primarily the models 1893 and 1897, represent critical stages in the development of the modern pump shotgun. So So Christopher Spencer, renowned for his Civil War era repeating rifle, introduced it commercially. John Moses Browning later refined the concept for Winchester. There's the key. You've all heard that name before. The designer and creator of the most popular handgun, the 1911, producing designs that achieve far greater commercial and historical prominence. I think we need to go into our first break. Let's go through our first break, Matt, and when we come back, there's one thing I just want to talk about that was interesting with the Winchester model, and that's slam fire. And a lot of people don't understand what that concept or what that did. So, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We're here with Chuck, Matt, and Cindy here at Shooter's Corner. We're going to go into our first break, and we'll be right back.
While your RV enjoys some well-deserved downtime this winter, treat your traveling buddy to some TLC at Price RV. You'll be road ready for spring RVing. Use your off-season wisely. Let Price RV inspect your appliances, repair cracked water lines and roof leaks. Price RV's advanced diagnostics quickly identifies any problems, prevent annoying drips, rattles, and hums before they become expensive problems. Be road ready this spring. Visit Price RV on Marble Court in North Pole.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts. We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service too. Family owned and operated. Keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair.
It's that time of year again. The sun is out, roads are clear, and gravel is everywhere. At Auto Trim Design, we have you covered. With our self-healing paint protection film, keeping your paint looking showroom new and defending from rock chips and scratches, helping your car stay flawless for years. With our ceramic window tint, not only will it add a stylish look, it also provides protection from harmful UV rays, reduces glare, blocks heat, and increases privacy. From exterior protection to interior comfort, Auto Trim Design has you covered. Stop by or give us a call to get your vehicle ready for summer in Alaska.
KFAR weather.
Partly cloudy this afternoon with highs around 49. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast tonight, a mix of rain and snow possible at times, 34. Slight chance for isolated rain showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 50. Cloudy skies expected. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, and we are back.
Welcome back, listeners. Oh, awesome. Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt at Shooter's Corner. If you missed any part of the first part of the show, remember you can always go and listen to the archives over at KFARradio.com. Yeah, so check this out. We were just talking about Spencer, the guy who invented the repeating rifle during the Civil War era, and how he created the first pump-action shotgun, and then also how Winchester had a version that was created or refined. John Browning later refined the concept for Winchester, essentially. So there we have it. Producing designs that actually achieved far greater commercial and historical prominence. That was the Winchester version. So, kind of put this in order here a little bit. So Spencer's repeating shotgun or pump-action shotgun was patented in 1882. Production began around 1883 to 1884. Let's see, approximately 800 early units were made under Spencer, with a total production reaching roughly 3,200 by 1889. And then the company filed bankruptcy. And Francis Bannerman acquired the rights and continued limited production until about 1907. Total output across variants estimated around 20,000 to 25,000 units. It was the pioneer of the pump action platform for smoothbore firearms. And then the Winchester, which everybody's very familiar with because of the 1893. Browning's model 1893 followed 11 years later. It was succeeded by the strengthened model 1897, often called the trench gun in military use, which remained in production until 1957 and sold over 1 million units. So Winchester's designs built directly on the pump concept, but addressed many of Spencer's practical shortcomings. Spencer established the pump action layout, tubular magazine under the barrel, sliding fore end to cycle the action, and then Winchester's versions refined it into a reliable mass market product. So some of the mechanical differences, I thought this was pretty interesting, Matt, and I know you had a chance to look at the show notes here. Bottom line is Spencer had pretty complex system for the breech block, tipping down, extracting, ejecting, loading, and then lockup. It was innovative, but it was definitely rough and less smooth. Winchester, the 1893 and the 1897, used a simpler, more linear tilting breech block with a cleaner sliding bolt, so the action was much smoother, faster, more reliable. I thought this was really cool, because I didn't know this, but the earlier Spencer models often featured a dual trigger system, one for firing, one for recocking in case of misfires, the early paper shells. Yeah. And then the Winchester 1897 had an external hammer design, visible and manual, providing a clear visual and tactile safety indicator. What do you mean, paper? Well, that was, they had paper shells.
Okay.
Yeah, so they still had like a brass or a metal hull, end cap, if you want to call it that, base, I should say.
Okay.
And then paper hulls and stuff like that on them. Anyways. I'm not going to get into the weeds on that because I want to get into the slam fire. So, Spencer, let's get to that. I thought that's pretty cool. Although the capacity of both of them were very similar, Spencer typically 5+1 up to 7 to 8 rounds. Okay, and this was huge back then, going from a single barrel to a double barrel to now having a pump action, like the amount of firepower you could carry, which is very interesting because World War One, that amount of firepower had a significant talk about here. Yeah, this is pretty cool. Winchester was obviously lighter, more ergonomic, refined for better balance, faster handling. The 1897 became iconic for its slam fire capability in some configurations. So, you might ask yourself, Chuck, Matt, Cindy, what is slam fire?
What is?
Glad you asked, Cindy. So one of the things mentioned is slam fire with the Winchester model. It's not intentional, not to be confused with negligent or accidental firing, or an uncommanded discharge. So not to be confused, it wasn't the same version of a pump shotgun. All right, moving on. The Winchester model 1897, often called the M97 or trench gun in military service, is, and I've seen these are pretty bad-looking guns, man. I've seen them on Gunbroker. They go for a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. They're not cheap in the slightest.
They are not cheap. These are antiques, and they're freaking cool. Yeah. But why? Then he says I can't handle one. Okay. This feature allowed the shooter to achieve an extremely high rate of fire in close-quarters combat by holding the trigger down while rapidly pumping the action. Slam firing on the 1897 is not an out-of-battery discharge. Instead, it is a deliberate, repeatable, rapid-fire technique. The shooter holds the trigger full rearward. They pump the fore-end slide forward and rearward quickly as possible. It's going to sound like very, very good. Like
very good. No, what? Slam fire shotgun.
Elmer Fudd. Like the Elmer Fudd shotgun. Okay. All right. So they pump the forward and rearward as quickly as possible. Each time the action closes and locks in the battery, the hammer falls and fires the round automatically without the shooter needing to release and repress the trigger. This allowed the trained user to empty the 5 or 6 round tubular magazine in roughly 2 seconds, delivering a devastating pattern of buckshot at close range. In World War One trench fighting, American soldiers were trained in this technique, which contributed to the shotgun's fearsome reputation, and even prompted, and get this, ladies and gentlemen, even prompted a German diplomatic protest calling for its ban as inhumane.
Which, and if I may, Chuck, really quick, the reason why that's so important that's...
And digest this.
Yeah,
the Germans called this inhumane.
Yep, they were gassing the Allies. They were doing everything that they possibly could to kill.
The same people who were dropping mustard gas on people.
Oh, we don't like this. This is too, guys, this is too much. Sorry, this has all been a big joke. Don't use the shotgun, please. Now.
I thought that was, insane. So, but the root mechanical reason that the 1897 or the M97 was able to do that is because it lacked a trigger disconnector, which is now found in the modern shotguns, right? So, modern pump-action shotguns. I know, right? why can't they make these? Oh, I know why. Because people are stupid and they'll sue the manufacturer.
Yep.
You know?
This was the original.
Finger off the trigger.
This is what Californians originally thought of when they think and say fully automatic or fully semi-automatic shotguns.
The disconnector physically separates the trigger from the steer or hammer while the action is out of battery. The shooter must fully release the trigger and pull it again for each shot. This is a safety feature and also took all the fun away. So the 1897, other early pump shotguns, such as the Winchester Model 12 and the Ithaca Model 37, was designed without this disconnector. As long as the trigger remains depressed, the steer re-engages the hammer as soon as the breech bolt returns to the locked in battery position. The external hammer design and the geometry of the steer trigger interaction allowed the hammer to fall the instant the action locks. The gun is mechanically prevented from firing out of battery by other safeties in the bolt and carrier. But once fully closed, it fires immediately if the trigger is held back. I love it. John Browning's original design prioritized simplicity, speed, and reliability over the later safety standard of the trigger disconnector. The 1897 was built strong enough, especially for the reinforced smokeless powder versions, to handle the stresses of rapid cycling. So, it's pretty cool. What say you, Matt?
I don't know. I want one. I want one so bad, but yeah, I'll never be able to afford, unless for, you know, for as funny as Palmetto State Armory is, if they could recreate the trench gun and sell that, I would be ecstatic, but I don't think it would ever happen. I'm really impressed that that was even a thing that the military was allowed to use, and then even with the Germans trying to butt in and saying, we don't like that, we still used it. And then, again, I'm always blown away with the fact that someone's mind was able to create a device that could do what the trench gun did, especially for that era. Cause you were right talking about it going from a single barrel to a double barrel. And then all of a sudden you quadruple your ammunition capacity and fire rate. It just blows my mind that someone had the thought process to think, you know what, the double barrel isn't perfect. How can I just shove more rounds in this thing and fire as quickly as possible? And then this thing was born. I love it. It's so cool, and it's such a unique piece of history.
Well, you know, it kind of goes back to what I've said before, and I think this will kind of help you with your memory, but I think that never underestimate the human capacity to, cause more hate and discontent.
Oh, absolutely.
Why do you think we went from, you know, cap and ball to single action revolvers to double action revolvers to now single barrel, double barrel, pump, semi-automatic? I mean, we just had to become more efficient.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't necessarily always for military reasons either. So.
No.
But
I want to put down eight quail as quick as possible. I'm going to slam fire it.
Defend ourselves much faster.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, we got 2 minutes. So let's kind of finish up this real quick. I don't want to get into the editorial yet because my editorial is literally going to slide right into what you wanted to talk about as well, man.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool. But we can literally summarize by saying, I think everybody listened to the previous engagement of Shooter's Corner, where we addressed the historical foundations of the Second Amendment, drawing from the shot heard around the world.
Yep.
I think it's important that listeners understand that there were some significant events that were going on, you know, in our history. And we don't teach enough of our history, to be quite honest with you.
No, we do not.
Especially in school and everything else. And so I think we need to rehash that a little bit, because Lexington and Concord were at the forefront of significant events years ago. And we're getting around to where we're going to celebrate our 250th country's anniversary this July. And so I think it's even more important that Americans understand kind of the foundation. I think we're starting to stray away from that a little bit.
Yep.
With the whole me syndrome, and not so much the we syndrome of, hey, we need to rally around our flag and our country and our leadership and like, I don't know, kick butt and take names. But nonetheless, I digress. Oh, we don't have time there, Mr. Matt.
You're about to go right into the music.
There we go.
That's perfect.
Perfect timing. All right. Well, we're going to go into this half-hour break, mandatory local national news, weather, and stuff like that. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Chuck, Matt, and Cindy here at Shooter's Corner, 97.5, 660 AM. We'll be right back after this break.
You can now find the legendary KFAR on the FM dial at 97.5.
I'm Tom Graham. President Trump says he has ordered the U.S. military to shoot and kill Iranian boats that drop mines in the Strait of Hormuz despite the ongoing ceasefire. He adds the Pentagon's naval blockade of Iranian ports will remain in effect.
President Trump says he's in no rush, indicating he is willing to continue this blockade for as long as needed. Writing on Truth Social today, quote, Iran is having a very hard time figuring out who their leader is. They just don't know.
Fox's Brian Yenis there. Spirit Airlines seeking a government bailout in order to keep flying. Fox Business Network's Edward Lawrence is at the White House.
A source tells me the administration could give up to a $500 million in loan guarantees for Spirit so the airline does not go under or be liquidated.
The airline has not made a profit since 2019. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The North Pole City Council considers and postpones AI policy. The Fairbanks Daily News Minor reports two North Pole City Council members postponed approving a resolution and policy governing city personnel's use of generative artificial intelligence softwares such as ChatGPT. The resolution, sponsored by members Santa Claus and Benny Williams, notes that AI tools can help city functions, but only if the appropriate security controls and encryption measures are in place. The City Council wishes to allow the usage of AI tools, but only in a manner that allows the city to fulfill its legal obligations to manage records, the resolution states. City employees and elected officials would be allowed to use AI tools for city business, provided they use a city-managed enterprise account. Any personal versions or accounts would be banned. The AI policy covers AI use on city-owned devices, such as computers and work phones, that can be accessed with a city-credentialed account. Santa Claus agreed to postpone voting on the resolution until the May 4th City Council meeting.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Whether you're flying or boating into your favorite fishing hole or just driving to the lake, make Frontier Outfitters your first stop for all the fishing gear, licenses, permits, and stamps you'll need. Frontier's extensive fishing department has the conventional, fly, or saltwater tackle for every game fish in Alaska's streams, rivers, lakes, and ocean habitats. Rods and reels, lures and natural bait, lines and nets, dip netting supplies, even sunglasses. Frontier Outfitters has what you need for your successful trip, plus marine parts and equipment downstairs at Century Hardware. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
While your RV enjoys some well-deserved downtime this winter, treat your traveling buddy to some TLC at Price RV. You'll be road ready for spring RVing. Use your off-season wisely. Let Price RV inspect your appliances, repair cracked water lines and roof leaks. Price RV's advanced diagnostics quickly identifies any problems, prevent annoying drips, rattles, and hums before they become expensive problems. Be road ready this spring. Visit Price RV on Marble Court in North Pole.
Hey Fairbanks, Bryant from Auto Trim Design. Now's the perfect time to get your work trucks set up right. From toppers, back racks, beacons, running board seat covers, floor liners, bed slides, ladder racks, and so much more. Auto Trim Design has everything you need to tackle any job. Our commercial toppers keep your equipment and tools secure and out of the elements. Need to keep your bed organized? Add a deck drawer system to easily access all your gear. Contact Auto Trim Design for your professional truck grade accessories today.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, listeners.
Can you hear me, Matt?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, so we were just talking about the slam fire on the Winchesters and the Spencers, and that was all pretty cool stuff. But if you missed it, remember, you can always go back to the archives and KFARradio.com, KFARradio.com, and then go to the right-hand side, you'll see Shooter's Corner with Chuck Henry. Just click on that, scroll down, find our archives, and then bam, you're in. You can listen to all the past shows, all the fun, entertaining dialogues that we have on this this great Thursday. So, anyways, Redell Slipping Fire. Moving on. Oh, I thought that was kind of funny. Another news. Trump's in the news again.
Water's wet.
Imagine that. Water's wet. I'm breathing oxygen. Yeah, let's go into our... We kind of talked about our editorial a little bit. Kind of gave you a lead in on that. But the whole shot heard around the world, Lexington and Concord. We gave some insights on the Federalist Papers. But I want to extend that discussion a little bit because, you know, we've had a couple calls and talking to some friends and family and stuff. And a lot of states literally just justify their expansive firearm regulations by framing them as essential measures for public safety. We know that. It's just to keep the kids safe. It's to keep the parents safe. It's to keep the world safe. Yeah, okay. But we also know that criminals do not abide by that. Proponents argue that restrictions on commonly owned firearms, magazine capacity limits, permitting requirements, or designated sensitive places reduce gun violence and protect communities. However, empirical observations and constitutional analysis indicate that such measures primarily burden law-abiding citizens who comply with legal processes, while failing to disarm those intent on criminal activity. Criminals, by definition, by the very name, operate outside legal channels and are undeterred by additional statutes imposed on responsible owners. In contrast, these regulations can delay or prevent lawful self-defense, particularly in jurisdictions with slower law enforcement response times. A notable aspect of this dynamic involves elected officials and representatives who advocate for such restrictions yet maintain access to armed security frequently funded by taxpayers. And we kind of talked about that last week, didn't we, Matt?
Yes, we absolutely did.
Chicago mayor running around with like a $30 million budget.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
For instance, in high crime areas with stringent gun control laws, public officials have been reported to employ extensive armed details, which we talked about, sometimes involving dozens of officers at significant public expense. This arrangement creates a perceptible disparity. Those who propose limiting citizens' access to firearms for personal protection ensure their own security through professional armed personnel. Such practices underscore the practical reality that self-defense capabilities remain necessary for the general populace, as government and law enforcement resources cannot provide immediate individualized protection to every citizen. The principle that government officials and law enforcement should not hold a monopoly on firearms aligns with the founders' vision. The Second Amendment was designed to prevent the concentration of armed power solely in the hands of the state, recognizing that an armed citizenry serves as a safeguard for liberty and a means of deterring or responding to threats when official protection is unavailable or delayed. Disarming lawful owners while preserving armed protection for a select few inverts this balance, effectively treating the right to self-defense as a privilege reserved for the governing class rather than a fundamental guarantee for the people. Let me repeat that. Disarming lawful owners while preserving armed protection for a select few inverts this balance, effectively treating the right to self-defense as a privilege reserved for the governing class rather than a fundamental guarantee for the people. States possess legitimate authority to regulate the exercise of the right to keep and bear arms within their borders, provided such measures remain consistent with the Second Amendment as incorporated against the states and interpreted through the Bruin history and tradition test. Regulations advanced under the banner of public safety, ranging from bans on semi-automatic firearms to enhanced permitting schemes, let's demonstrate analogs in the nation's historical tradition of firearm regulation, where they instead impose novel burdens unsupported by founding-era or Reconstruction-era practices. They exceed constitutional limits. The assertion that stricter controls enhance public safety warrants scrutiny. Law-abiding citizens who undergo background checks and adhere to licensing requirements bear the primary impact of these laws. Criminals, on the other hand, who obtain firearms through illicit means, remain largely unaffected. The selective restriction leaves responsible owners more vulnerable, particularly in urban environments where response times may be extended. Meanwhile, the very representatives who champion these policies often benefit from layers of armed security, highlighting the inconsistency that undermines the equitable application of self-defense rights. The Supreme Court bears responsibility for rigorously enforcing constitutional boundaries to prevent such overreach. Decisions like Bruin correctly shifted inquiry away from interest balancing tests towards historical consistency, ensuring that the Second Amendment is not relegated to second-class. Judicial oversight is essential to invalidate measures that, while labeled as public safety initiatives, function primarily to disarm the citizenry while preserving armed protection for government actors and law enforcement. The founders, informed by experiences of attempted disarmament and articulated in the Federalist Papers, understood that an armed populace, rather than an exclusive reliance on state forces, underpins a free society. In preserving this framework, the court upholds the principle that the right to keep and bear arms belongs to the people, not merely to those entrusted with official authority. States may enact reasonable, historically grounded regulations, but they cannot transform a fundamental right into a revocable concession that disadvantages lawful owners while shielding representatives behind taxpayer-funded protection. Judicial vigilance in this area maintains the constitutional equilibrium intended by the framers, a citizenry secure in its own liberties, capable of self-defense, and not subordinated to a governmental monopoly on force. Like I said before, if only the government and law enforcement has firearms or guns, we're not a free citizen. So, what you got to add, Matt?
I think if you're listening and you think, man, I really need this this lawful hand around my throat to get even tighter, you should probably think again. I just, you know, I love talking about all this sort of stuff, but then there's a side of me that just gets frustrated because it's constant tightening on what should be free for every U.S. citizen. It's a God-given and founder-given right that's been laid out for us, and because people don't like it and because people have a one-sided opinion on things, they decide, you know what, I'm just going to ruin it for everyone. Let's ruin everyone's fun. Or maybe they had one bad experience and now everything bad needs to happen. And it's very easy to point the finger and say, oh, it's because this is happening. We have so many deaths in the U.S. for gun with, or that, I guess, reference in gun violence, that we need to just ban guns. Well, when you look at it, a large portion of that is self-inflicted. So getting rid of that, it's very minor. But even then, banning everything doesn't make sense, or making it as strict as possible doesn't make sense. You know, and if that's the case, then we should ban walking because more people trip and fall and die every year than weapon violence does in the United States. So I look at this and I just get frustrated because you're looking at such a small aspect of what needs to happen and or what you feel like needs to happen, and then you want to just make it as tight as possible because you're, I don't know, offended by it, or just, I guess, ill-informed would be the biggest case, or unwilling, ignorant to learn both sides of the spectrum. And I don't know, it's a fascinating yet frustrating topic to discuss, just because your mind can go a thousand different ways, and then ultimately it leads to why do you want to restrict my rights when I'm not coming after yours?
I think we tend to view it with a different scope.
Yeah,
because you and I have, and most people, especially in the Fairbanks area, it's a military town. Got it. And a lot of us have lived in other countries. And we've seen what's happened in other countries. We've seen, like, okay, let's talk about England, for instance. Let's ban guns over there. So now we just run around with machetes or knives and stab people. Are you going to ban all of those too? I mean, your common kitchen, you know, your common kitchen knife in common use, if you wanted to use a court's vernacular, are you going to ban that too? Drunk drivers, speeding kills a lot of people. Vehicles kill a lot of people. Are we going to go back to horses because of that? No, it's a matter of convenience. But firearms, and I hate that term, gun violence. absolutely honest with you, because it's people violence. They just happen to use an instrument called a gun. But nonetheless, like, they're an easy target. Why? Because they can be used by a criminal at distance, for instance.
Right? Yep.
I mean, I got it. Assassination. By the same token, a good guy with a gun can stop a bad guy with a gun.
Exactly.
Probably about the only thing that's going to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. So, but, all right, we got to go into our last break. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt here at Shooter's Corner, and we'll leave that there for something to chew on. But, Matt, when you come back, we're going to talk about some of these things you got televised now going on there on April 19th. I know we're going to digress a little bit, April 19th, but hey, bear with us. Matt's got a nice little story to tell.
It's recent.
Yeah, it's recent. But, yeah, stay tuned here. Matt, Chuck, and Cindy, Shooter's Corner, 97.5, 660 AM. We'll be right back after this break.
Auto Trim Design has it all, from radios, speakers, amplifiers, moose lights, running boards, and step bars, to WeatherTech floor liners and mud flaps. And don't forget about the CompuStar remote starts, Arctic polyurea spray and bed liners, back racks, and ladder racks. Auto Trim Design also has Lear and ARE toppers and smart caps. All this and more at Auto Trim Design under the big American flag.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
While your RV enjoys some well-deserved downtime this winter, treat your traveling buddy to some TLC at Price RV. You'll be road ready for spring RVing. Use your off-season wisely. Let Price RV inspect your appliances, repair cracked water lines and roof leaks. Price RV's advanced diagnostics quickly identifies any problems, prevent annoying drips, rattles, and hums before they become expensive problems. Be road ready this spring. Visit Price RV on Marble Court in North Pole.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts. We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service too. Family owned and operated. Keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today, with daytime highs approaching 49. Winds out of the southeast 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies tonight, a mix of rain and snow possible at times, lows of a low around 34. Cloudy skies tomorrow, slight chance for isolated showers, daytime highs approaching 50. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
And we're back.
Welcome back, listeners. Oh, man. If only I had a garden hose. It is my joke. Anyways.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Welcome back to, Shooter's Corner. Chuck City, I'm out here at 87.5, 660 AM in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska, where it's still kind of like cold out there, and winter will like just kind of dig his claws in and hang on a little bit longer, and I think the light might be at the end of the tunnel around June. So, just
going to get in the high 50s.
High 50s and then still in the 20s at night.
Bloody.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah,
I hate this.
All right, Matt's got a special segment for us. Matt, did you have like some special report?
We got a special report. You know, I'd like to bring to life how the events of April 19th, 1775 would have been televised today. So if you're listening, just know this is not real. Don't freak out, but I'm just going to go off of this.
This isn't a War of the Worlds.
Yeah, this is not War of the Worlds. But all right, so here we go.
Only the old people would know what I just said.
Breaking news, 72 killed resisting gun confiscation in Massachusetts. A National Guard task force detailed to confiscate a cache of recently banned assault-style weapons was ambushed by elements of anti-government paramilitary extremist factions. Military and law enforcement sources estimate that 72 were killed and more than 200 injured before government forces were compelled to withdraw. Speaking after the clash, Massachusetts Governor Thomas Gage declared that the extremist faction, which was made up of local citizens, has links to the radical right-wing tax protest movement. Gage blamed the extremists for recent incidents of vandalism directed against internal revenue offices. The governor, who described the group's organizers as treasonous criminals, issued an executive order authorizing the summary arrest of any individual who has interfered with the government's efforts to secure law and order. The military raid on the extremist arsenal followed widespread refusal by the local citizenry to turn over recently outlawed assault-style weapons. Gage issued a ban on the military-style assault weapons and ammunition earlier this week. This decision followed a meeting in early this month between government and military leaders at which the governor authorized the forcible confiscation of illegal arms. One government official speaking on condition of anonymity pointed out that none of these people would have been killed had the extremists obeyed the law and turned over their weapons voluntarily. Government troops initially succeeded in confiscating a large supply of outlawed weapons and ammunition. However, troops attempting to seize arms and ammunition in Lexington met with resistance from heavily armed extremists who had been tipped off regarding the government's plans. During a tense standoff in the Lexington Town Park, National Guard Colonel Francis Smith, commander of the government operation, ordered the armed group to surrender and return to their homes. The impasse was broken by a single shot, which was reportedly fired by one of the right-wing extremists. 8 civilians were killed in the ensuing exchange. Ironically, the local citizenry blamed the government forces rather than the extremists for the civilian deaths. Before order could be restored, armed citizens from surrounding areas had descended upon the National Guard units. Colonel Smith, finding his forces overmatched by the armed mob, ordered a retreat. Governor Gage has called upon citizens to support the National Joint Task Force in its effort to restore law and order. The government also demanded the surrender of those responsible for planning and leading the attack against the government troops. Samuel Adams, Paul Revere, and John Hancock, who have been identified as ringleaders of this extremist faction, remain at large. And this is exactly how the American Revolution began in April 19th, 1775. Never let them take your guns. Yeah. Well, that's my blurb.
No, I like it. And you know what? That whole byline would be flashed all over every mass media.
Everything, immediately. You'd get notification on your phone. Twitter would be exploding. Facebook, older parents would just be freaking out. It would be a nightmare across all fronts worldwide.
Yeah. Well, thank you, baby Jesus. They didn't have that back then.
Yeah, take the internet from us now, please.
All right, so what else you got there, Mapster?
So with what little time remaining we have, I'll get through some of this list, but I'd like to open the floor for discussion on something and hear your guys' side as to why these may have a ground to stand on now, why they may or may not, or what you may consider a gray area. So here's a list of 20 major U.S. federal laws or constitutional amendments ratified as laws enacted since approximately 1876 that the Founding Fathers are original advocates of strictly limited federal powers, individual liberties under the Bill of Rights, free enterprise, property tax, state rights, and skepticism of centralized authority would likely view as significant infringements. These laws often expand federal regulatory power beyond the Constitution's enumerated powers, impose direct taxes or mandates, restrict arms or speech, enable surveillance, or create compulsory programs. Our fathers opposed standing armies, central banks, unapportioned taxes, and broad federal police powers, seeing them as pathways to tyranny. So the first thing I guess that would come up around this time. So this is over the last 150 years, if anyone was catching on to that, but would be the Interstate Commerce Act, which was created the Interstate Commerce Commission, the first major federal regulatory agency overseeing private railroads, seen as federal overreach into interstate economic activity and property rights. So would you guys see that as overreach? Would you see that as it's needed? How do you guys view something like that?
I don't know. Is that a test question?
What was that?
Is that a test question?
It could be.
I don't know, because you got to remember the same thing that was happening at about that time was these huge, like, railroad barons that were monopolizing and, like, cornering the market on everything. Like, you could not move any freight west at that time frame, you know, without, like, paying their fees. So I can kind of see how maybe the government wanted to get in there and be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, you know, this is for like the good of everybody in the country expanding west. Like, why are you guys the only ones that are getting rich about this? Now, having said that out loud, does that not sound a lot like what we have going on nowadays?
It does.
Look like Elon Musk or whatever, right? I mean, like, they invent all this stuff. It's great for the world, great for societies. I mean, think about, like, even, like, Starlink right now. The internet opened up to the entire world. And what do? Oh, let's tax the crap out of him.
Yep.
He does help.
He does. But I'm saying, by the same token, Cindy, there's a lot of other people that are like, that he's bad man.
He's the devil.
He's not bad man. So, I mean, could the railroad barons back in that time frame, like, have been doing good for society? Yes, they were building railroads. Was it viewed bad by some people because they were the ones that were getting rich from it? Yeah.
Yep.
So that whole mindset has been around forever, man. Humans, by characteristic, are like crabs. They hate to see somebody do good sometimes, I think.
They absolutely do.
Oh, my God, a crab is getting ready to skip out of the pot. Everybody grab him and pull him back down with all the rest of us. Yeah, I've seen that in all my careers now.
And I think it stems from the fact that they're not doing as well, and they're upset that someone is doing better than them. Or maybe they had the idea to do it but never had the means to facilitate it, and then someone else had the same idea, because no ideas are original, and they were able to carry it out.
Yep.
All right.
Move on.
All right. We got to skip a few here because we are short on time, yeah. But I'll go into this one. Let's see. Where did it go? Okay. The 16th Amendment, federal income tax, allowed direct, unapportioned federal taxation of income contrary to the original constitutional limits on direct taxes. I don't think we should have a federal income tax.
No. Although some would say you have to be able to pay for all the, you know, benefits or whatever,
which given, but
the question is what benefit.
Yeah, I want to be able to choose where my tax is going. Like, you can choose where you're donating to, and, you know, XYZ whatever, but if the population to an extent doesn't want to donate into something, then it shouldn't get the money. But on the same token as what you're saying, if I'm choosing not to donate into something or where my taxes are going and I'm completely avoiding it, then people can lose jobs, people are put on the street, certain things fall to the waste, and this is why I feel like it's a lot of gray area on this sort of stuff. Is it, should it be here or should it not?
Well, I think some of the disgruntledness comes from people seeing, once again, on the mass media, and probably rightfully so in this particular case, how billions of their dollars, their tax dollars, that they work hard for is now given away to leering centers.
Yeah, the leering centers, yeah.
Minneapolis.
Yep.
You know, they see this fraud, waste, and abuse that is going on. And what we expect is our government to provide oversight and as a check on those organizations that these fundings are going to, and like call them on it. But as we have found out, some of these organizations, you know, whether or not they may have started out with the right intent, maybe they've transitioned to something more nefarious. But I think it's important that our government, like, goes after them and then checks on them and then, like, punishes them if they're, like, using taxpayer funding inappropriately.
It should be held accountable. If you're given permission to do X, Y, and Z and you start to do A, B, and C, and that was not within your parameters or your limitation, or you weren't even approved in an extension of powers, there should be – I feel like we're – The little people like us and the listeners and everyone at this level, we are held accountable for everything. You miss paying on your taxes once, bye-bye, go to jail, or here's a large fine. And then these larger corporations or higher up echelon beings, whatever you may call them, they're doing something goofy, dumb, or they're committing heinous acts of overreach, and it's just don't try not to do it again.
Well, they have a battalion of attorneys.
Exactly. Yep.
But, hey, like I said before, though, taxation is theft.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Just say it. I mean, I get it. Maybe as a part of a free society, we need to pay a share, but not the crazy share that we end up paying.
Let me choose.
Like, yeah, so let me pay off my house. Let me pay on it for 30 years. Pay property taxes on it for 30 years. I pay off my mortgage. I stop paying on my mortgage. And then I decide I want to stop paying my property taxes. What happens to my property?
Yep.
It's seized. It goes to the king, right? Everything gone, just like that. Bam, gone. You know, you go and buy a car, you pay taxes on that. You go and register it, you pay a tax on that. Like, everything is freaking taxed. Like, if they could get away with it, and I'm sure they probably have in some locations, they'll tax your oxygen. So that's our show.